Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you in to our next edition of our podcast. My name's Dave Cole. I'm the marketing director with First In Promotions, doing real estate-specific marketing and advertising since 1992. And joined, as always, by social media expert Scott Winteroth. Welcome, Scott.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Dave, for the introduction. And excited to be here. Obviously, this is a really important topic. I think we're going to talk about strategic planning for property showings today. And Dave, I know you're the expert at this topic, so I think I'm going to go ahead and just segue into you. Take us away, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, it's we're talking for planning for your property showings, and we're not only talking about open houses and the like, that this is when maybe you're bringing a buyer to several properties and have that specific one in mind you want them to see, or you're on the seller side and maybe you're getting ready for either a showing or it could be for an open house. So just some of the strategies. And again, just as we've talked earlier on podcasts about planning your campaigns, planning your strategies ahead of time for your marketing, the showing can definitely be a part of that strategy and even could involve some of the social media or different ways to promote it. So just a couple of ideas to put out there. And it's the time of day and even the time of the week could be a factor in when you want people or to bring people to a property, depending on which side of the fence that you're on in terms of working with a buyer or a seller. For example, if it's maybe a 3 or 4 bedroom house and the school district and the community is a big factor to the potential buyers because they've got maybe young children, especially at the elementary school level, you might want to have the showing be at 3:30 or 4 o'clock on a weekday afternoon if that's possible. I know sometimes schedules don't always permit that, but it might be, or if the property fits, maybe they could see a group of children walking home from school, see how traffic is at that time. And so for parents to know that their kids would have a group that they could be walking to and from school with, that it's reasonably safe, there aren't any traffic dangers, how it goes with the street, that could be a very important consideration. And if they don't see it for themselves before they're making the decision, that's the type of thing that just could be a factor. A couple of other ideas would be, I know we talk about if you're near the train station, for example, or some type of commuter line, this might be something where it's, both the couple, or if it could even be, an individual purchasing a condo, that type of thing. If it's something that they'd be using public transportation to commute to work, that might be important for them to be able to see that, hey, 10 minutes after they leave their new home, they could be on the train into town, as opposed to having the drive and park and all that for the train station, as we talked about previously in a different example. A couple of more ideas would be, depending if you've got, and this is especially for single family homes, depending on what direction they're facing or the layout, maybe you want to have people come and see it when there's the most sunlight on the patio or shade on the patio, or the living room is at its brightest. So if you want to have the bright, or you've even got a skylight or that type of thing, you want to have people there when it's at its maximum. There was even one idea, and again, in terms of people seeing it at the right time, this was an agent in Indiana that did this a couple of years ago with success. He was representing or bringing buyers into a development with, it was something like 20 or 25 homes, and there were 2 or 3 that backed up in the back part of the development and actually backed up toward a railroad tracks. And as you might expect, those were the last, I think it was 3 homes that were available. So what the agent did was brought in and set up a big screen TV set in the kind of like the family room with the back window that overlooked back toward where the tracks are, scheduled a showing and scheduled it for something like whatever time it was, 5 p.m. or 7 p.m, that type of thing, which happened to be when he knew that a train would be going by during the time of the showing. He had that big screen TV up against the like the wall near the window in the room, all set up and operating, and the furniture in there for staging purposes, had the TV on and playing when the people came in to see the house. Went through, had the TV on just to show, hey, this is what a big screen TV, how it could look in your entertainment room. He says, in fact, if you take the house, I'll just leave the big screen TV here for you. You can make this your entertainment center. And the people he was showing liked the house. And after he could tell that they liked the property and the idea of the big screen TV, he pointed out, oh, yeah, you see the train going by over there. And they're, yes. Do you hear the train going by over there? And they said, no, we don't. Like, why would you ask that question? Granted, he had the TV on and the windows closed, but that was his selling point, that the train going by at that time of the day did not interrupt anyone in the house, and he wound up getting that sale that other agents could not because of its proximity to the railroad tracks. So there's an example of where strategic planning, and granted he had the expense of the big screen TV, but he got the sale, and that's what made the difference, a strategic time for the showing in terms of getting the property sold, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes too, like TVs have come down such in price, and the opportunity cost of something like that is really well worth it if you think about it. Good, really good point.
All right, so a couple of others that we've got, and this is one that comes up, is sometimes you have dealing with, let's say, when it's a pet-friendly home, and oftentimes that people will want that's a point of appeal, that, you know, it's a home that's accommodated, you know, big dogs, small dogs, cats, whatever the case might be. That could be a selling point, but oftentimes pet owners are not. And so there are strategies, and this is, again, part of strategic planning, where I know of one agent that did this that had, and I believe she either did this herself or worked with the homeowners and just happened to be baking cookies at the time of an open house. And this way, instead of pet odors, people came in and had the smell of cookies or cinnamon or whatever ingredient it was that kind of dominated the house and made a pet-friendly home smell really good to all that visited. So that's a part of the planning and preparation. So another example of that, because this is something that comes up, is, and this is actually an agent that I've done some work with in Chicago, that owns several rental properties, but in one case, she actually, although she's a dog owner herself, tends to not like to have at least large dog owners as tenants, so she just doesn't have dogs in her properties. She made one exception. She has a owns and operates a 4-unit building in Chicago, and granted, this is not a house, but there's a point to this, that what she has done was been able to, she noticed in her research that there were no other properties or similar properties in terms of the amount of rent within maybe at least a 3 to 4 block radius of this building. So thinking, boy, there's got to be some big dog owners that want to be in this area, she rented and managed to rent all 4 units to owners of big dogs. This property also has a decent-sized backyard. So what she has done has been to create this community. The dogs all get along great and all use the yard, and it's become the tenants all know each other, and because of the dogs, it's kind of like one big happy family. And her comment to me was, Dave, these people will never leave, because mm-hmm. they can't move a block or two or three blocks away and be able to accommodate a big, you know, a big dog, and they wouldn't have the camaraderie that they do with other dog owners in the building, that they can watch out for each other and that type of thing. So, and again, that's four units, and most of you participating in the podcast are not in that situation, but it is something to think about in terms of your strategy, that if you do know it's a seller or a buyer or somewhere where, let's say, big dogs or whatever type of pet is involved, if you know of someone nearby or something that could be a factor, maybe the neighbor has a dog and you're bringing in people that are potential buyers that have a dog, or maybe something similar in that regard, maybe try to do a showing when they could say, oh, you've got a poodle or whatever type of dog it is. Hey, so do we. It's just, it's those little things, but that can make the big difference, because when someone is at your property, you're in front of them, they can think, gee, I didn't see that type of dog, or I didn't smell this good, or whatever the case might be, when visiting another property. So just some things to think about. One other point, just for topics, and again, with strategic planning, is when you're representing buyers, especially, and you want to bring them to show properties, besides doing it at specific times. And there's the theory, and that's probably a whole nother podcast, as far as when you're showing them properties, how many properties do you want to show them within a certain period of time? Do you want to take them to five properties the same day? And, you know, do things start to run together? Or how do you want to do that? That's kind of a separate topic. But for concentrating on bringing them to, let's say, the house that you think is the more likely of the choices, there are things to consider, and not every agent does, unfortunately, but even the route that you take when driving them. So sometimes it's the, there are times when, if it's, let's say, you know, an individual, a couple, or a family where there are not children, and maybe the commute is the most important thing, take what will be the commuter route. Go by and say, oh, here's how you'd, how quickly you can get here off the expressway, or go by way of the train station, so that you can be saying, well, here's the train station, and then poof, 2 minutes late, 2 minutes later, they're at the property. So those are some things to consider as well. Or getting back to the pets example, because that's something that comes up a lot. Maybe there's one of the, I mean, some of the big cities will have what's called a pet park or a dog park or something, where, you know, you can take your, have your dog play outside, or even bring a cat or bring a pet. This is usually for dogs, but it's the idea of maybe there's something in the neighborhood where you can get together with other pet owners. So maybe bring them by that, or take them by the elementary school, or show them. Some schools have better, I guess I'll say, positioning or facilities to be able to pick up and drop off, especially elementary school children. So if the school in the district of the house, maybe they have one of those where you can kind of pull in and wait, and the kids get in and you're off the street, that's a good potential selling point. So maybe take them by and even spin them through the drive-through. Not drive-through like a restaurant, but I mean drive-through or little parkway by the school. And you could be saying, now here's where you could pick up the kids from school and show them the three blocks it is to get home, where they could walk. It might be some kind of a big crosswalk, a new grocery store. So be thinking about these things when they're, you know, when you are taking them to a particular house. Besides the selling point of the house, and this could even tie in with the earlier example of maybe you would do a showing at 3:30 or 4 o'clock on a weekday afternoon so they could see the kids coming home. If it's something where you're bringing the people there and have this set up, they could see the kids walking and see the whole route. Maybe you go by a grocery store or something on the way home and be able to point out all these conveniences. And by doing that, it's the idea of building up the neighborhood, the community, the, as the term goes, location, 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 before they even set foot in the house or return to the house for another look. That can be a very good reinforcement, Scott.
Yeah, no, and I think that, like, you know, there actually is something I might want to tie in here in terms of social media and digital marketing. that, you know, I might not be the guy who knows a lot about showings and stuff like that, but there is one thing that I do know is that, you know, sort of creating your website and having some of this content on your website that you could refer your clients to, let's say it's in a blog, especially if you, like we've talked about in several episodes now, where you have a particular farm area or you have a particular area that you sell often, you know, having a photo and a write-up about the local schools, having a photo or write-up about other, you know, building things that are happening or grocery stores and stuff like that, and actually referring people to your website as you show, you know, go and finish it, go, you know, please visit this page to see information about this, the what's in the area, what's in this area, and having that sort of library of content on your website will help keep your prospects on your website versus going to someone else's website when they're doing research. So yeah, just a way to kind of couple strategic showings with some sort of strategic content.
Yeah, and that's to pick up on that point, Scott. That's also something to consider for those of you that do have a most likely a geographic specialty. So maybe you're known as the North Shore condo lady, or you specialize in homes in, you know, Oak Hills Estates or whatever the development might be, that your website would support that by having that type of community information or, you know, resource information. Or it could even be some type of a hobby or something that kind of makes you human and would make you remember them. Mm-hmm. I know that when I was working out in the Los Angeles area doing real estate marketing a few years back, there was a lady, an agent that happened to be a huge baseball fan, and her thing was she was the Dodgers lady. And so she would be wearing, you know, the Dodgers cap and really tying it in, even at real estate functions or showings. But this way, that was kind of her way without, you know, she would say she's the Dodgers lady. She couldn't legally advertise that mm-hmm. because it's a team name. But I mean, she would be able to represent that when at meetings, when in groups, and just kind of have that tie in. And so, you know, there's properties, you know, some high-end properties within a few minutes of Dodger Stadium, for example, or even at some type of a baseball thing, but it was at least a way that kind of made her human. Somebody would say, oh, I'm a big baseball fan. Hey, did you see the game last Friday when this happened? And so that's, you know, part of it too. And even though that's not necessarily specific, you know, what's that got to do with strategic planning for property showings? Well, in her case, she could either have people come by or bring people, and maybe the house she goes into, just like the example of the big screen TV by the train tracks, she could have something maybe when the Dodgers are playing on the road and people are watching the game or something like that. So it's kind of an offbeat thought. But again, what I want to do is get you all to be thinking in those terms. You're going to bring people who might be buying a property, or you're representing the seller and wondering when would be a good time to show it if schedules work out, and just to be thinking about all these possible ways, the more ways you can get to have them remember you and remember the property, then the better off you'll be. And that's kind of the, you know, the whole theme for this. So that's really the points that I wanted to get across, and hopefully it'll spur some thought for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if anything, doing showings with more intention, I think, is probably the underlying process here, right? So,
exactly.
Yep. Great.
All right. So that's it from here, Scott.
All right, Dave. That sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think you've got some, if you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.